Yeah. Okay. Right, you can start now.
We're going now.
Are we starting now?
Even if you talk through this, we're still going. I'm not stopping.
Are you sure?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
And hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 614 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is January 17th, 2021. The world is fresh and new. Everything is bright and cheery. Everything's changed. No more COVID, no more anything. We are all free to do what we want. Yeah, okay, maybe not. But we are going to talk about video games. We are a video game podcast. We are more mature, more wise in our own heads, and therefore, well, we think we're important to listen to for some reason. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter for now. Joining me this week, I have a select group of fine gentlemen. That was really difficult for me to say. Starting with the frozen one, the dead ginger, Pete Chin. Pete, are you actually here?
I'm here, froze in time and frozen in temperature.
Yes.
I'm all here. Yes. You get to see my beautiful face in still.
It is quite beautiful, Pete. And what's amazing is it looks like you tried to match your clothing to your ginger beard.
I don't know why everybody says I look like a farmer in this my little jacket. I love it though, my little body warmer or gilet, yeah, as people like to call them. Anyway,
okay.
I like my all little right body warmers.
Okay. Also joining us this week with the infamous tin cup ear cups, we have Mr. Mark Wright.
Yeah, the headphones are back. So, yeah, them little things last week, they were all right, but they sounded too tinny. So,
good to see you back, Twiggy.
I'm going to have to brave these back, yeah. And just put up with all the slack from you lot.
Twiggy.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, last but certainly not least, back in time, Mr. Robin Tate.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Robin here, Robin Tate in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. Great to be on the show. And here we go. Another one. Yeah. My goodness.
Robin, your face just, I think it gives away right now, Robin. Your energy level is definitely, I think, muted compared to what I've seen from the past.
Huh.
I mean, right now, like, I would be throwing out the gif of Ron Burgundy saying, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. I don't know. We got to change that around. We got to pump some energy into the podcast. We got to have some fun.
Pump it.
Hey, we are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. As long as they don't ban us, we are 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. And if Kim was here, we'd be 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. Because she's not here, we're technically not 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. So, I mean, there's that. Let's talk about some birthdays. We've got some birthdays. Mike Brashler turns 73 on the 17th. Mike, congratulations. Not to be outdone, Dave Avery on the 20th turns 74. That's incredible. Those are big accomplishments. They really are. Paul Gaskell on the 20th also. Amazing. 1 year younger, though. 73. So he's got one on Dave right now. And then Robin Tate. Robin Tate on the 23rd of this month. Robin, you look, I cannot state this enough. You look amazing for 82. And we all hope we can look as good as you when we turn 82. Last but not least, Nicole Radowski turning 21 all over again on the 24th. I think we need to give a round of birthday applause and maybe a song, Rob, Mike, whatever your name is. Yes.
Yeah, it's also my mum's birthday on the 30th.
Well, there you go.
She'll be 70 something, I don't know.
Anyway, it's amazing. Robin could be your dad.
Yeah, he could, yeah. Hi, Dad.
That's incredible.
Right, this is for all the birthday people.
I like your mom.
All right. Well, aside from thinking about birthdays, let's talk about what we've been doing this past week. You guys have a lot going on for being in full lockdown, I just got to say. Yeah. So let's talk through this. What's been going on? We'll start with Mark. Well, Mark, you are also known as Patient Zero.
Yeah. So last week I mentioned that I'd just finished my lockdown after my episode of COVID-19. I was quite ill with it over Christmas. Still got the cough now, but obviously the symptoms have gone. So I'm deemed safe to the public. Went back to work on the Monday. Was up the work on the Tuesday. Gets a phone call from Jenny. Because she had a hospital appointment on the Wednesday, she had to go for a COVID swab on the Monday as routine. No other reason to have it, just because of a hospital appointment. Right. Got a phone call on a Tuesday. She's tested positive. So it's all panic stations, and then we're thinking, well, what the fuck happens with me? Do I have to isolate again? Rung NHS.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like who makes your dinner sort of thing. Like, what happened? Who makes my fucking dinner now?
Right.
So I rung NHS 111 and they said, well, because you've just finished with it, you'll still be test positive because you've got the antibodies in you. But you're clear. You should be all right. You can carry on working. But the hospital said, no, he has to isolate. NHS Track and Trace went, nope, he has to isolate. And I got an official notice that I had to isolate. We rung HR department. They said, nope, got to isolate. So I got sent home Tuesday afternoon. Got to isolate.
Is that because you can pass it on?
Probably, yeah. I could probably carry it again because my wife's tested positive. So I've got to isolate now for another 10 days. But I'm not ill this time. So although it's nice to have 10 days at home and play games, which I've been playing lots of lately, the worst thing is I don't get paid for it anymore because when I went to the NHS, I got full pay, not a problem. I only get statutory sick pay here. So it's 10 days unpaid fucking leave and it's shit. That's the only downside. But yeah, I'm in isolation again, so I'm Mr. Lonely again. Can't do anything. I'm gutted.
And your wife told you promptly that she was going to self-isolate in your bedroom.
Yeah, well, I said,
she was not going to go to the spare bedroom.
When I was positive, I had to go in the spare bedroom. So I says, does that apply to you? And then when I woke up later with a black eye and I had a steak on my face, I realised that was the wrong thing to say. Yeah.
How can you be married so long and know so little about women, huh?
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it? Being married so long and just, yeah. Out of touch with reality.
Well, you're getting that, and I'm getting a big prick tomorrow morning.
Are you getting your vaccine?
I've
got quite a few friends on Facebook from the ambulance service, and they've nearly all had their jabs now, and each one of them said it's made them ill for 3 or 4 days. Not with a virus. It can't give you the virus, but it makes you ill for a good 3 or 4 days.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
I've heard the second jab is worse than the first jab.
Yeah,
Is that because of fostering, Robin, that you got to have that?
Yeah. Judith and I are both get a big prick in the ass tomorrow morning. So
I was going to say, because you're not really over 70, are you? And I think it's around that now, isn't it, in the UK?
But it's his role as a foster parent that's what's getting him. Priority
until people are vaccinated, they won't better relocate kids, will they?
I don't know. I'm hoping that some of the after effects or side effects that are true. I'm going to be monitoring it very, very closely. As we've talked about this the other night, Greg, allegedly one of the side effects is your penis grows.
Right.
Once a week, a measuring, and I'm hoping for at least 2 inches.
So, you can't grow any more further than 18 inches already.
Well, you have seen it. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, Robin, when they do go to give you the prick, it does not go in your ass.
No, it goes in your ass.
So just be forewarned if they try to pull that one on you.
You've disappointed him. It's sad. Yeah.
But is that not what happens every time you go to the doctor's surgery? No. Fuck. Well, Jesus.
Maybe how about use a little lubricant? Maybe the second jab wouldn't hurt so bad.
My doctor.
Where are we, Mark? What else? Stop. What else is going on in your lonely life?
Pete's got this on his Vikings finale. It's finally finished. Whoa. Ended. No more. No, it's gone forever.
I'll tell you what, they've closed that off really well, man. What do you think?
Yeah, but I liked it, but I was I felt a bit. I don't know. It wasn't the ending I was expecting.
Are you going to spoil the Mandalorian?
Either the Boneless. I thought he'd have a different story arc at the end. I didn't expect him. Didn't expect to happen what happened without spoilers.
I didn't think they'd rushed it. I thought they've done a good job.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty impressed, I was. Yeah. They've ended it better than Game of Thrones, anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So for me, I think it's probably one of the best TV seasons, TV series, should I say, that I've seen out there at the minute. It's just brilliant.
The first two episodes of Bjorn Ironside, God, that was gut-wrenching, wasn't it? So good, so good.
Yeah. Excellent. If you've never watched it, watch it on Amazon Prime.
You're in for such a treat, Robin. The first, three or four seasons are just absolutely phenomenal. The ones with Ragnar Lothbrok in, they're just amazing.
Hey, Mark, just on battles and whatever, that type of program, have you seen Barbarians yet?
No, it's on my list. I've heard a lot of people mention that. A lot of people are mentioning Last Kingdom. Have you seen that?
Yeah, well, I'm on episode 10. I'm finding it hard work.
Yeah.
It's not. Barbarians is way better.
Don't believe it.
Oh, I'm going to have to try and get this.
Although, if that is the last scene, that is brilliant. Yeah.
Can I get that up?
Yeah, we need to put that up in the show for people to see.
I have seen the last scene of Vikings.
Yes, guys. Yes, so. You have.
Oh, crap.
Viking hair smells good, apparently. anything else, Mark, outside of watching Viking?
Oh, crap. Hang on a minute. I'll keep clicking wrong. Just bear me a minute.
All right.
There we go.
Mark.
Yeah.
I think you made a very bold decision that was not politically motivated, although.
Oh, yeah. Maybe right. So, yeah.
Might be a little politically motivated.
No, right.
To not
so.
Be, it's politically motivated to not be politically motivated. Yeah, yeah. How's that?
I don't know what the word is.
You're Twitter free.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've hardly ever used Twitter because it just depresses me when I go on there. Facebook does the same as well. It's just full of toxic shit and for doom and gloom. Even though I follow a lot of gaming friends, it's turned into just a place I don't like to look anymore. Right. And I've hardly tweeted anything. The only times I've ever tweeted lately are Victory Achieves. So I thought, sod it. And I've just done a pilch and I've deactivated my Twitter account. I've had it since 2008 as well. So yeah, it's gone. Twitter's gone. I've got 30 days to change my mind if I want, but yeah, no, it's gone. And I've not missed it once.
31 days, I'm going to go register as Mark Wright.
But the only downside is the Victory Achieve winners contacting them, but I'll just use the podcast Twitter to contact.
Yeah, I was going to say you could use Parler. Never mind.
Yeah, don't go there. I'd use Signal as well, but oh, mind you, that's working again now. So
yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's not for any major political thing. And it's same with Facebook. I'm going to have a massive purge on Facebook and delete a lot of things I follow. But it throws a lot of stuff at you anyway, suggestions, and I hate that. Because there's a lot of news channels it throws up at you. And they're all clickbait.
You just have to resist.
Yeah, all the news channels are all about, oh, what about this vaccine and what about this? And then all the comments are half of people saying, oh, yeah, this is great. And half of them saying, oh, yeah, it gives you a fucking tracking chip and it's fucking all this fucking shit, and it just it depresses me so much. People are
I find all social media just a bunch of bullshit now. It's just doing my head in.
The only thing I like about Facebook is the memes. I just like the comedy side of it. We've got a neighborhood watch where we are, and I'm an admin for that, so it might be a bit tricky to just leave. I don't know what to do about Facebook yet. I'm not yeah. In the Gary DeFelice camp where he's leaving for political reasons, and he's
he's leaving for tinfoil hat reasons.
Yeah, and privacy and freedom of speech. Yeah, freedom of speech. No, I'm not leaving for any of that. It's just because it's shit. I don't go on it. Fine. So yeah.
Yeah, I just have been
trendsetter,
very...
That's it, I'm a trendsetter.
You are a trendsetter.
I'm getting old. Yeah, it took me all that time to fucking think of the word.
It's okay. Trendsetter, you started the trend with Twitter.
Yeah, started the trend of quitting Twitter. Oh, no, yeah. I didn't really. You started did that about four times.
Silver,
but, yeah.
Silver ear cups, just saying.
I'm going to paint these fucking things.
Okay, well, I don't really use Instagram. I use Twitter an awful lot. Used to use Facebook an awful lot, but not so much now.
Right.
And, Greg, you said Gary's leaving because of tinfoil hat reasons. Well, I'm sorry, mate.
I'm joking around.
Stepping back from it as well is I'm not happy with the behavior of these big companies, which is why I changed my phone. For right or for wrong, that's made me feel a little better. And I'm taking a step away from Twitter. And
sticking to the
Facebook
map.
Was a big thing anyway, but especially Twitter, because it's just toxic. And it's very one-sided. And I'm let them have it. I'm very disappointed in what they did with Parler because I think Twitter was as vicious a place as Parler ever was. Absolutely. Yeah, stuff that went on there. And I think it's very, very unfair. No matter what way you look at it, it's unfair, not right. So, yes, I am moving over to Signal to replace my WhatsApp. And whether I'll go the MeWe route for Facebook or not, or the other Twittery thing, what it's called.
Is it MeWe in China, just for the record?
MeWe?
I believe
and Gab.
Yeah.
I haven't looked an awful lot at WeMe.
Signal
is a lovely...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's lovely.
Apart from when it went down for 2 days when it got overwhelmed.
Well, it went down because so many people went on to it. I look at the stock market pretty much every day, and it's amazing, especially Twitter. It has been ripped to shreds. Billions. And that's not big investors. That's small people that just got pissed off with it. I sold my Apple shares last week. And so, you know what? You might, a joke or not, it's time that there's some other competition on the marketplace. So that's why I'm looking at
that. That is definitely true.
The trouble is, I find now that the apps that you get, these new apps, they'll start off great, but they end up going the same way. I don't know whether it's a great thing or it's just money they get through advertising or selling data. Or I don't know what it is, but it's just a real, toxic freight train.
I think the toxicity is really, really bad. I mean, it used to be places where you could actually discuss thinking something, and that's the human race. I mean, now you're either black or white or left or right or whatever, and there's no in between, and that's we've lost that as human beings.
Yeah. But the world is gray. We know this. Yeah. So
it's kind of crazy. So I want that discussion. I catch myself looking at Twitter and looking at it and I have purged a lot of the toxic things from it, but even still, I look at it and
I fully respect that decision, Rob, and I don't have a problem with that. Gary is still wearing a tinfoil hat. I don't care what you say, but that's just because that's Gary, and I will always make fun of Gary. But
he's a cunt.
He is a cunt. So let's call it what it is. But that being said, there are some alternatives out there, obviously, to explore. Hopefully, there will be more. Hopefully we will see some oversight on some of these companies to kind of reel them in to limit some of the power that they seem to have been wielding.
But I also think, Greg, we used to have way back, GeoCities and having your own page and MySpace, and things have an age.
Of course.
I mean, the kids now, Facebook is to the old folk, and even things like... Snapchat is getting old and long in the tooth now.
I never caught on with Snapchat. Never.
Yeah.
No.
I don't Instagram as well.
I don't use them.
So, just be nice to people.
That is really the best advice anybody of us can give. Yeah. Be nice. Don't be a dick.
Sometimes it's hard to be a dick, but you know what? if someone has a different opinion of you, they're not fucking racists. They're of a different opinion. Don't go straight to racist.
Yeah, we need to less name calling, and more conversation. I think that really is what we need in life.
Move on.
All right.
From a 2 meter distance.
What?
Just
Cheeto stuff.
All right. Well, Robin. Just
mad. Now this is before I was just cutting out the carbs, but now her crazy ordering. There's been keto bars arriving and crackers and pancake mixes that are keto friendly. And I go, for God's sake, just be sensible. Don't just cut down. Just exercise and away we go. So the cross trainers came into the house and she's working away at that. So, and I'm having a ball every morning. So I get up in the morning, have a quick cup of coffee. Well, Judith and I spend a little bit of time together, and I get the VR on, and I go and VR for 30 minutes every morning.
Yeah, I saw you were in the chat the other day talking about new kit that you just ordered. Seemed like it was pretty full body.
Did it? Oh yes, that's the sex. You find the real reason why I've got VR. It's the sex stuff. Haven't looked at the sex stuff yet. A friend of mine wants me to check it out. I don't know if it's good or bad, but definitely I think I have to check it out just for market research.
For market research, absolutely.
Yes, Greg's talking about a photograph from Japan or Taiwan or somewhere where the chap's in VR and he has some add-on bits around his waist.
No, not just the bits. He's like a full suit. In a full-on, almost like a bodysuit. He's got this big old mechanical strap-on thingy around his waist. I believe he still has his hands in the orbital controllers, and he looks like he has a smile.
I don't know. I would like to try you. I would try everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of trying everything, Robin, just to get back to the whole dieting thing. One of the things on the pancake side, if you can find it, it's pancakes called Kodiak. Pancakes, Kodiak cakes.
Okay.
They are fantastic. Super easy to make. They've got about 14 grams of protein built into them, so they're a good kind of healthier option for pancakes. And
yeah, she made some stuff yesterday, and there were like a mix, and they were very low protein or very higher protein, very low carb, and they were all right. They were a bit grainier. They were okay. Right. They were acceptable with a bit of bacon, some mushrooms, a bit of fruit, a tiny bit of maple syrup. That was spot on. It was lovely. So this sort of stuff takes away a little bit of effort again. But yep. I'm enjoying. I mean, whether or not people think I'm frigging crazy standing there doing Beat Saber for half an hour, and we'll talk about it a bit more in a while. But definitely Fitbit thinks it's exercise. So it's raising the heart. It's raising the heartbeat. I come off. I have to end up washing the head. The piece of the headset comes off, the spongy bit around it. Right. And I end up washing it. Having to wash it just to be the clean about it because you work up some perspiration.
Okay.
So that's good. We'll talk about more of that in a while. So yes, that's a new way of exercising. Nerd exercising.
All right. And then you mentioned some new media. What's going on there?
Oh, that's what I was just, I never say exactly what I mean in these notes. I'm talking about Signal and stuff like that there and the new way we talk through these new medias.
Gotcha. So,
okay. I've been watching some stuff.
Okay.
Back in time. I watched The Towering Inferno.
That is going way back in time. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wasn't that late 70s?
79, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, what?
You've never heard of The Towering Inferno?
No. I was born in 79, don't forget. Yeah. All you time. Old codgers.
Fuck's sake. All-time classic movie. And it had two famous actors in it, which was Paul Newman.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, from Newman House Racing and blah, blah, blah.
1974, I'm so sorry.
And Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
So film both of them together. Absolutely fantastic, you know. It's 1970s, sort of still a bit of hippie, but making a big building. But just Do you know what?
The melodrama.
It's dedicated to firemen at the beginning of it.
Right.
I'm watching it. You can't help think about the Twin Towers.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No.
And what those guys faced and the architects talking about why do you make them so big and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was nice to go back to it again. And that sort of spooked me into some older stuff because Steve McQueen died very, very young. He died in his early 50s from asbestos cancer.
Mesothelioma, yeah.
Yeah, removing asbestos in submarines or something during the war. And I mean, when he died, he was at the top of his game. He was like the highest paid actor at that time. When he passed away, when he was his last movie, this sort of kind of took me down that nostalgia trip.
So I'm going to add to your nostalgia trip if I might, because those movies all. So there were a bunch of movies that kind of came out in that era, that times of the world where they were kind of dedicated to these the disaster film.
Yeah.
The air disasters. You had obviously the Towering Inferno.
Airplane 74.
Exactly. The Poseidon Adventure. That was the one I was going to tell you to watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
They did a remake Poseidon of that, Adventure. Did a remake of that.
Watch the original. Watch the original. It's well worth the watch.
So, Pete, I wish I could see you here because you're still. Poseidon Adventure, if you've never seen it, you know, it's a boat turned upside down and it's a priest or something, isn't it? That tries to get some of the.
There's a ship. Yeah, it's a cavalcade of different people from different stats, you know, states of life and stature. You've got the rich people, you've got the kind of people that grew up on nothing, and you know, then you've got the priest, and then there's somebody from the crew, that kind of thing. I think it's maybe the captain or it's like second in command that's helping them out, and of course they're trying to the ship is capsized, and so it's their adventures of trying to survive. It's worth a watch, Pete. It's worth a watch.
Okay. And then just for the last couple of days, I've also watched The Bird on the Wire.
Oh, I love that.
Which again is an early 90s sort of movie. Yeah. Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn. Lots of shots of Goldie Hawn's ass when she was like top of her team as well. So, that was really, really good. And last night, we sat the boys down to watch. They wanted to watch a movie last night.
Right.
So they're at the age now where I can start to pull out some of the old stuff. And we watched Air Force One, which is Harrison Ford.
And Steven Seagal were in that movie, wasn't it?
Right.
No.
This is Harrison Ford.
Synopsis. Yeah. Synopsis.
No, there's a different Steven Seagal movie that's similar to it, but it's not the same.
Right. Yeah. So the premise is the president is making decisions that politicians don't like, and he goes in and attacks a terrorist. Sounds familiar? Yep. And the politicians don't like it, and the terrorists then plan another attack, and they hijack Air Force One.
Right.
And the president's supposed to get off the plane in a capsule to save his life, and he doesn't, but he stays on the plane and fights for the people. But on the ground, all the politicians are in the background signing petitions to exercise the 25th Amendment. It comes out.
Right.
All the backstabbing, sleazing on the ground.
Well, because the theory is if he is captured, then he can't make decisions anymore, and that he might be influenced to make decisions because of his family was up there. So they have all these different scenarios that play out. It's a fun movie.
The stuff now you go wow, like these sleazeballs are in real life and sleazeballs in the movie. So yeah, very good. Good for the kids to watch that sort of stuff.
Hey, like I said, if you gave me a movie script and you put all of the detail from the past 12 months into that movie script and said pandemic, racial riots. Wow. Political stir, coups and things. I would never believe it. I would think this is ridiculous. This is the stupidest movie ever. And yet we've lived through it. So,
Gary Harris in the chat, Boomer, he said the one with Steven Seagal, what I'm thinking of, Executive Decision.
So, yes. Yep.
Yeah. No,
yes.
Is that the one that the very very beginning?
Yeah, he's only in it about 10 minutes.
But he dies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Spoilers. Yeah. So he dies very very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah,
they attach one to another. Yeah. Okay, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
And ironically, the movie probably better off for that death. All right. Pete.
Hello.
Pete, talk to me about boilers, Pete.
Oh, this is the reason why I'm freezing tonight.
Oh, she's about 36 years old. She had a short skirt on, tights, stockings, the whole lot.
I don't want to know about that boil.
Purple. She was a boiler. Too right, she was.
No, that was shelling that photo. Oh, dear. Anyway, I'm freezing. My boiler's broke. So
you're freezing so badly, Pete, that you actually are freezing on camera.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm so cold, but. Yeah, boiler's broke. I'm hoping to fix it by Tuesday, hopefully, if I can get the part. What else have I been doing?
Well, real quickly, Pete, I'm curious. How cold is it out there?
I don't know. Mark, what do you reckon?
It's not that cold. It's warmed up a bit. We did have snow last week.
The
weather app, it's 5 degrees outside.
Five degrees
in proper money. Let's work it out in that fake shit you use.
Well, let me know. I can work this out for you. So it's 5 degrees there. It's 21 here.
20?
32. Yeah. 32 in American money.
Yeah, but you got the fucking heating on.
No, it's 21 outside.
Yeah.
21 centigrade or Fahrenheit?
Centigrade.
Podcast. We do temperature conversions live.
But you've got the heating on.
You're warmer in fucking January than we are in fucking summer.
I was going to say, I could literally be outside in my tank top and I'd have no problem right now. Anyway, sorry, Pete.
Anyway.
So you're cold.
Yeah, I'm freezing. And
you're living the Viking life.
Yeah, I really am. Do you know what? Playing Assassin's Creed makes me feel even colder because most of it's in snow. the boiler's broke. I've watched Vikings, as we spoke about earlier. I've been watching The Office as well, the American one.
Okay.
And I watched episode one start off with, and I was like, oh my God, this is just exactly the same as the British one. And then I got a little bit further into it, because my stepdaughter, Kira, she hasn't seen the British one. And I was just there, like, that happens in the British one. That happens in that one. That happens in that one. And it was just almost the same. And I was just like, I was even reeling off some of the things that were going to happen and some of the things that were said. And I was like, if it's like this all the way through, I'm not even going to bother watching it. But I carried on, and
they diverge.
Yeah. Yeah, it does get to a different story and, different things going on. And I like the characters in it. It's quite good. So I'm getting into The Office. My driving license has expired as well, and I didn't know until...
The photograph section. It only lasts 10 years, doesn't it?
Yeah, you have to renew it every 10 years. So I went to... give my notice of marriage at the register office, and we got all of our documents. They asked us about it 4 times if we'd got them all. I was like, yeah, everything's fine. And I was the second one to this booth that they've created in the register office. And I got there and I gave all the documentation through, and the last thing she asked for was my driving license. She went, oh, your driving license has expired. I don't think we're going to be able to give you notice of marriage. I was like, what? And I didn't even expect it. It just curveballed me. And she spoke to some people on the phone. And apparently, with my expiry date on my license, which was last like October, the end of October, she says, if your license is due to expire at some various points last year, it's extended for 11 months. So thankfully, I've been able to give my...
I said you were going to be able to go and say, I'm sorry, love, I can't marry you. Sorry.
I know. This is the ultimate excuse.
Damn, sorry, love, can't...
Government is keeping us from getting married, honey, I'm sorry.
What's all this notice of marriage shit? I didn't do any of that when I got married.
Yeah, they have to publicly display that you're going to get married. I think it's for 30 days.
Yeah, you have to put it in the paper.
Yeah, never heard of that.
For a year. Put it in the paper, an announcement.
It's for 30 days before you get married, and then it lasts a year, the notice does. Right. But the thing is, there's no weddings running at the moment, so it could still get rescheduled again for the third time. And, yeah, I'm just waiting. I don't know. It's all up in the area at the moment in the UK. I don't know what it's like in America for weddings, but they're not going ahead. And I really didn't think that it was going to happen, but luckily she says, oh, no, it's fine. You're okay. Your driving license will get accepted. And, yeah, I was panicking a little bit. I had a bit of an arse-twitching moment at that point.
There was an online conference last week for lawyers in America trying to plan ahead for 7 years from now, because there's going to be an absolute missing, like a glut of no divorces whatsoever for that period of time because no one's got married.
Yeah,
there's going to be a gap in the market.
Yeah, there's going to be a gap in the market, but there's also going to be like this huge gap of, or increase, I should say, of unsolved murders. No divorces, but the murder rate went up substantially.
Number of missing women have gone up.
Yeah. So the moral of the story was, Pete, you said you got all the paperwork together, yet you really didn't.
Well, I just didn't check.
Make sure all your paperwork's in order, Pete. Make sure
it's just the one thing I didn't check. You don't check it, do you, really? Mm-hmm. Your driving license. It's just, I don't know. So I've got to update that. The last thing I've been doing, I've got a bit more spare time on my hands. So I'm going to, I've filled out a couple of application forms to volunteer at some different places. There's a youth centre not far from where I am. And they're operating a little bit at the moment, but they're after volunteers. And I've wrote an application form to them. Just want to
do you need
do a bit of volunteering.
Do you need a letter of recommendation?
Yeah.
Sorry, what are you volunteering for? Sorry, I missed that.
There's a youth centre. They're after, they're just after mentors, either for kids who want to apply for jobs, or just enhance one of the things that are for sports or arts. They do different things. So I was thinking about volunteering there, but there's also a place in Birmingham that it's a deaf centre, and they want people to they call them volunteer befrienders, and you just help deaf people with their shopping or just phone calls and stuff like that. So I'm going to look into doing a bit of that, I think.
All right. Well, that is actually a really nice thing you're doing. So the joke that I was going to say was I can't write you a letter. Recommendation, but I could. Yeah, you're a good man, Pete. All right. Well, I suppose this is upon me. So, just kind of rounding things out, I had a very interesting podcast fireside chat, as if you will, with our friend of the show, Eric Piotrowski, or also known as Duke Scath, yesterday. We talked a bunch of politics. We talked about kind of what's been going on in the United States for the past year. And it's interesting because we are both very much on opposite sides of the spectrum when it comes to politics. So I would encourage anybody to give that a listen, because at the end of the day, we found a lot of common ground. And I think that was really what I wanted to get out of that conversation, was that we can have common ground. It doesn't just have to be name calling. Just because we don't have the same political beliefs doesn't mean we can't coexist and we can't get along. So there's that. I would also say to Robin, which he won't hear right now because he's on the phone doing business stuff, but Kodiak Cakes is what you want to get. You really do. They're fantastic. We had Kodiak Cakes this morning. They are fantastic, not grainy bits at all, and quite tasty. So my wife currently is
murdering
my child. That's okay.
How did you get on with Eric?
Fine. The conversation was there with Eric went just fine. Good. You know, we didn't agree on everything, which is understandable. We come from two different sides of the coin when it comes to the politics, but we were able to find some common ground. We talked about things and opened one another's eyes up to different points of view. And all said and done, it was just a really good conversation. So
when will that come out?
He published it today. Yeah, he published it out today. Okay. So It is all available. Been watching a show called Big Sky. Kind of I'll call it a whodunit mystery type series. It's maybe not the right way to frame it, but it's interesting. It's taking place in Montana, I don't want to give too much away of it. Just think of it as they're missing people are involved. It's got some good little hooks to it. We'll see where it goes. It started off really strong, and the middle of it's been a little kind of predictable to me. So I'm hoping they're going to throw some more curveballs at me and that the show will actually finish up strong. It's on a recommend right now, but I'm only about midway through the first part of the first season. So it's a brand new series. Hockey is back. I'm super excited. NHL hockey. My Sharks played. They're 1-1 now. Unfortunately, they lost yesterday to the Arizona Coyotes, but it's just great having hockey back. I've missed hockey. And although I know they had their Stanley Cup, bubble type playoffs over the summer, it just isn't the same as just the regular season. So we're back, and hockey is back, and football, the playoffs are happening now. A lot of exciting stuff in the sports world going on. And it's at least good during lockdown stuff. And then lastly, I just want to talk about this. So when it comes to your smartphone, I almost never actually put screen protectors on my phone. Mm. The screen side. I almost always have a protector on the back of the phone that has a little lip. So where this way, when you put it down face down, the screen's raised up off that kind of thing. Yeah. But I had found this screen protector that was actually it's a glass
tempered
screen
glass.
Protector.
Yeah, yeah. Not plastic.
And so I thought, you know glass, what? Yeah. I'll try it. And lo and behold, I straight up dropped my phone and that screen protector has cracked. There's a big old crack on it, but the screen underneath is absolutely fine.
Oh, cool.
I've never used one before on my iPhone.
It works.
And with my new Huawei, I got one because my son said, oh, just try them. They're really good. And I've dropped it twice now, and I've broke two screen protectors, and I'm glad I did because it saved my phone twice.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a fantastic Canadian one. It is made of carbon fiber. I dropped my phone in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the front of my phone is perfect. And the back of my phone
is smashed.
It's smashed to pieces. I brand new, very expensive Samsung phone. And the cover with the cover on it, you don't see it. But
yep.
I don't know what to do with that. I've never done that before. I don't know. Do you get it replaced?
That's actually one of the problems I have. I should have probably said this to you before, Robin, with the Samsung phones is that they came up with this glass back to them.
Except me.
Yeah.
Not Robin proof.
It's not anybody proof really. So, I just get a nice case. That's my recommendation. You don't have to look at the back of your phone.
They're quite expensive as well. The glass backs.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. Needless to say, look, if you have a smartphone, get not only a case.
Don't be like Robin.
Don't be like Greg. Put a glass protector on the front. They actually can work. So
one thing, final thing I'd like to say as well, I didn't get a chance to watch it, and I want to get it watched tomorrow evening if I can, is the first two episodes of WandaVision, which is out on
I tried watching episode one. I turned it off after 10, 15 minutes. I could not get into it at all.
Yeah.
I don't have a big interest in this one. I have to admit, it just...
I don't get it. I don't... It's so boring.
I'll give it a try. I will give it a try, but it doesn't interest me on the surface.
What is he?
It's
the Marvel characters.
Yeah,
in a
Red Witch and Vision.
Living in a 50s house sort of thing, and nobody knows why they're there. And yeah, I know, but they're drugged or under hypnosis or something weird's going on. So anyway, it's something original. Yeah. Something
Mark, before we carry on, can we give a shout out in the chat? I know there's at least a couple people in there. I don't have it up in front of me.
Right, so we've got in there Gary Harris. We've got Game Over UK, Hardly Dan. We've got Lord, who is from my neck of the woods. Those are all the people who've posted. Let's see who else is in there. Another TT view, which is a bot, I think. Bing Cortana, Casino Thanks, Ilda Rail, Lera, Genus, Stu, Martin One's in there, and Vader.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for being a part of the show, joining us live. We certainly appreciate you being here. All right. No need to cover free games. I know we've already covered those a couple times. So why don't we just dive into what we've been playing?
Today, I feel like playing computer games. Today, I feel like playing computer games.
So, Pete, I think we need to talk about probably the biggest game of the year that you've been playing. It's not Assassin's Creed, but let's talk about chess.
All right, I have my dad take that.
Let's talk about chess, baby. Can I just ask one thing? Let's talk about pawns and the queens and bishops. And the rook up inside me.
Are you playing this because of Queen's Gambit?
What did you say, Mark?
Are you playing this because you've watched A Queen's Gambit?
Well, yes. I used to play chess anyway.
Gingers gather together.
I used to play chess quite a lot anyway, but Queen's Gambit has spurred this on, I'm afraid.
True, right?
Yeah?
It's, I still haven't seen that yet.
Right.
I'm still, still playing daily. There's one thing that I've... Well, two games that I've played this week that I've never played before. All chess-related, obviously. But different types of games. You can set your times, you see, when you set up a game to play somebody online or play against a computer. And there's a chess game called Bullet, and it's a minute long. So
speed chess.
Speed chess. I've never played speed chess before. By God, it is frightening. It's good. It doesn't matter how many pieces you take, how many of yours have been taken. As long as you don't get yourself into checkmate, it's basically whoever runs out of time. So you can whiz around the board as many times as you want and get taken as much as you want, or, you know, just use your prawns and as long as you...
Did you just call them prawns, then?
Yeah.
Yes, like the prawns.
Fucking amateurs.
So
use your prawns with proper dipping sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Run your prawns all the way around the table. But as long as you keep the most time, then you win the game. So that's good, Bullet Chess. I also play...
It's a perfect game for a northerner, isn't it, Pete? You know, you're in checkmate. You're in checkmate, you know. Anyway, doesn't matter. I don't have to do your accent. Say, you're in checkmate, please.
You're in checkmate.
You see? Perfect. You're in chat. Very friendly.
It's just cooked me. I don't know what it is. This old chess thing. Chess.com. I play it on my mobile. You can use your PC as well, but I tend to just use my mobile.
You know what baffles me, Pete, is you are the person on this podcast that rails against tactics games.
Yeah,
you hate them.
Chess is the only
ultimate chess is the ultimate tactics game, Pete.
Yeah.
Eric would say differently. He would say Go would be the ultimate game.
Oh, well, check that out. That's just absolute trash. That is. That's just bollocks.
That would be Eric's answer to that one. Oh no, chess is good. Go is the original. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, whatever.
But
chess
importantly,
is still more difficult.
Importantly. You like tactics games. You just need to. You need to open your horizons, Pete.
I don't like strategy games on consoles.
He doesn't like turn-based
games. They're more wide scale
on chess.
Well, chess is just on a board. It's very simple. I was taught on a board, and it was just there in front of me. It was just
you
a game to me.
Play XCOM on a board.
What if I took your board? I put a couple of trees in it.
That's
around that.
Yeah. A burning cow.
No.
It's really what is tactics games at the end of the day. They're just on a board.
No. When you play Gears Tactics and City Skylines and whatever, is it
the roller coaster one and a theme park and all that. They're just too, on a wide scale. There's too many things going on at Chess.
See, I believe, Pete, you're misinformed here. So I'm going to help you out because Roller Coaster Tycoon and City Skylines, those are simulation games. Those are city building games. They're very different.
They're games for accountants.
Yes. Gears Tactics is really more like chess than you can believe. You should give Gears Tactics a try.
Well, all of those things. You're just lumping them all into one category. Yeah. Stereotyping games, Pete. It's not a good look.
You are a game racist.
I don't give a fuck. I don't like any of them. I don't like them. If you don't like them, you don't like them. You don't play them. So, anyway, I've been playing chess.com.
You can't say that.
I don't like them.
You appreciate them.
My goal is to someday have Pete say he likes a tactics game, not named chess.
So anyway, chess.com, they've also got an option where you can play four-player chess, which is it's mind-boggling. You can either play solo or play teams. And yeah, it's just four chess boards stuck together, and it's just a free for all. You can go all the way across the four boards and take whoever you want to, and it's just mind blowing. As well as that, I've been doing puzzles. I've had a little bit of feedback on Twitter as well from someone, I can't remember who it was now, but they said that, oh, thanks for the recommendation of the chess site, because they've started playing as well because they've always wanted to. So it's working for some folk, and I enjoy it. It's really good. It doesn't take up. It doesn't take up heaps of time, especially bullet chess. You can play a few games, you know, in the matter of 5 minutes. And it's good. It's good. I like it. It's not going to put me onto Gears Tactics or whatever it is you're talking about.
Pete, have you ever played Battle Chess?
On the Amiga years ago.
Okay.
But that's just chess, isn't it, still? Just with a few theatrical moments where the rook will just squash a pawn. It's just chess, isn't it, at the end of the day?
I'm just trying to get you to evolve, you know.
Yeah, I might try Gears Tactics. I did look at it today.
You really should. I'm telling you, it is more like chess than you can believe.
I don't like those type of games. They just seem too big for me, and there's too much going on.
Gears Tactics is not the only thing you have to deal with in Gears Tactics that I think would amount to being too big is just loot that you get. So you can outfit your characters with different, you know, types of weapon add-ons. But beyond that, it's pretty straightforward. You don't have to manage any bases. You don't have to manage any territories or buildings. It is just the combat and the characters you bring into the combat.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Anyway, a small game that I've been playing is Assassin's Creed. Fucking hell, man, that game is so fucking big. Oh, it's just depressing. I feel like I was getting somewhere and like I just explore new areas and there's just more and more land that just evolves. And I'm like, I don't even know. I've lost the story plot. I've lost where I'm at. I'm just going around raiding people, trying to find gear and get different loot and make a home for myself at my new settlement. I'm at level 5 nearly. I don't even know what's going on in the story, to be fair. I'm just running around slaying people and just like riding around on a boat and getting cold in the snow.
You're quite far then, aren't you? Because if your settlement's level 5, I think mine's level 3. What power level is your character?
69. I've not really focused too much on the power level of the character, but I've just focused on just getting around and raiding different places and getting supplies to upgrade my settlement. It's a pretty game. It's great. I love it. It's fantastic.
It runs and looks amazing on the Series X.
Have you guys played since the new patch came out?
No.
I've just played today, okay. Yeah. I don't know what the new patch is, though. I noticed it was about 6 gig.
Yeah, it's today, a pretty big patch.
But I don't know what it is. But the thing is that the one thing I don't like about it is just the character movement. It still winds me up. It's still a bit
like blocky, if that's even a way to describe it. It's just not, well, I don't know, but I do appreciate that it's a big game and you've got things to get around, and but sometimes you just end up jumping on an object and it takes you about 5 minutes to jump back off it, and it really pisses me off sometimes. But it's on a whole, you know, the game is fantastic, it's beautiful, there's thousands of quests for you to just go ahead and, you know, take on.
You're playing this on a 1X, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I've got, I mean, have you seen the bear as well, Mark, or not?
The guy.
Oh, Mark is the bear.
Guy with the bear. Do you mean them?
No.
All right, no.
There's a bear in the mountain.
Right, no.
It's like a legendary bear, I think it is, in a cave. Okay. Wow, that was a fighting off. But
a side mission with a berserker guy, and he had a polar bear as a pet.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you killed any of the? Because there's an order, isn't there, where you've got to kill lots and lots of people.
I think I've only killed two.
Have you killed a zealot?
No, fucking hell, no. They are tough bastards. I think the lowest level one I've seen is level 90, and he just fucking demolished me instantly.
Yeah.
I had no chance.
I'm struggling at the minute trying to find... I've run out of raids. I'm not raiding anymore.
Yeah, a lot of the raids now, what I've got left to do, are all in the, like, 100...
The very north or the very south.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like, get put off too much about the power level, because it does say, like, 160. I've done all of them. I have all of the 160 so far, and I've not had any problem. You get an odd character within the raid that you fight against that are a little bit tricky. You know, you get some oversized dude with a big hammer or some big swordsman. But you tend to cope with it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do you feel like Assassin's Creed Valhalla maybe and this is. I think it goes for a lot of Ubisoft games, to be honest. But is the vastness of the open world maybe starting to wear a little thin? In you know, you're running out of things to do, but you're not really ready to kind of finish through the game. I mean, does it start feeling samey to you, or are you still good with it?
Well, I think it's very samey. I'm good with it. It's because I'm okay with repetitive jobs, like going on raids and exploring. I like the element of exploring, and you can go wherever you want to. You know, you can see new things, and you come across different enemies. But I'm losing with Red Dead. You kind of get some indication of where to go as far as the story's concerned. Now I'm starting to lose that. I'm starting to get more into. I wouldn't even call them side quests. I'm just raiding, and I'm just building up my settlement. Which I'm okay with, because I want to get to level 6 and make sure that my settlement's good. But I'm kind of losing where I'm at with the story. As far as I'm concerned, my brother's gone up north. I had an option to meet two of Ragnar Lothbrok's sons, or to go south and form alliances with somebody else. Yeah. But I can't even... I haven't even done that, Mark.
Oh, right. I've been following the story. And it's interesting watching recently the Vikings series and knowing the characters in there, and then meeting Uber and Ivar. So you meet all these characters and you think, oh, I know that guy. Well, you don't know him, but you know.
Have you got to Asgard yet?
Oof, no.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler. No. Right. I didn't know if that were a thing.
That's quite early on in the game.
Yeah. All right, no, I don't know. I've just been doing the alliance missions where you try to ally all the areas together. So I've done one area, and now I'm just on with another one. I can't remember the name of it. And the main story mission was with a woman leader called Soma, and she was got three leaders, and one's betraying her.
I've done that.
Yeah, I've just finished that one.
See, I find the investigation of those missions quite. That they're quite laborious. I think
I thought it was quite interesting.
I didn't enjoy it. I ended up
because you
get to a point. Yeah, suppose you do. You have to go around and just be a little detective. And I got bored of it, so I googled the answer, and I ended up just skipping it a little bit.
I thought I had my suspicions, and I must admit I did just double check because I didn't want to get it wrong, and I was right.
Yeah.
So when you know what's going to happen when you confront and. Say who it is, you know what's going to happen. So, yeah,
but I'm really sorry about
spoiling that other part. So it just proves then, Greg, that the game's huge. I've discovered a part of the game which probably took me a couple of hours of gaming, and Mark hasn't even touched that yet. No. I mean, I've not even completed it. To be fair, it's another part of the Atlas. Yeah. So, have you travelled back to Norway?
No, I didn't know you could.
Yeah, there's an Atlas in the map area, and you can select.
Because yeah, I thought the Norway bit was beautiful, and then it, like within yeah. sort of like the first sort of like little bit of a game, it's throwing me into England.
Yeah, well, you can opt out of that, but yeah, you can go back in if you go into the world map area in the bottom left hand corner. I think there's an option to go into the Atlas and you can pick.
I never spotted that.
No.
But yeah, this was the problem I had with some other Ubisoft games, with the Wildlands and stuff, and with Odyssey. They're just absolutely frigging huge, and this doesn't look as big, but it is still huge, and it's going to take a lot of doing.
How many hours have you put in?
About 26 hours so far.
Yeah, I'm 30 hours, I think.
So big games.
I do like it.
Yeah, I'll keep playing it.
Anything else, Pete?
No. No, okay. just Chess and Assassin's Creed. I think that's all it's going to be for the next 6 months. So, sorry to be boring.
No, it's okay. It happens. So Chess and Assassin's Creed, and maybe, who knows? We'll get you into Gears Tactics.
I can't even get my refund on Cyberpunk. I did go for it in the end, and then I looked, and you've only allowed 14 days, so that's passed. So I'm stuck with that. I haven't played that yet, so I've got that to play.
Okay. All right. Robin, we haven't heard you talk in a while, so I think we are due for a little Robinisms. So let's talk about VR.
I'm living in VR. So I have my Oculus Quest, and I've done lots of stuff with it this week. So technical stuff. I played around with virtual desktop. I have managed now just about to get this computer speaking while I'm away over in the house, because it's on a different network. So that's kind of neat. I can sit and work with multiple mega screens. That's a nice touch. I love it because I can switch it on really, really quickly, throw it over my head, and away I go. So first thing in the morning, I get up and I'm doing half an hour's exercise with it. So I'm playing Beat Saber, which is this sort of dancing lightsabers with blocks. Great stuff. Having great fun score chasing with Stu Fowler and Step J and Peds and a whole pile of the people that are in there that are really, really good at this. But having a wee bit of a battle with Stu at the moment. And it's good, and works up a sweat. And it's a good fun game, and actually it makes you feel badass. It actually does make you feel badass when you get the beat right, because it's like it gets really complicated, and it's like muscle memory that there's no way you could see the blocks. It's because when you get to the harder levels, there's no way you could see those coming to you. So you play it so much, you're just going, oh, just I feel it right now. Wow, a minute. Wow. So it's fine.
I was going to say, what difficulty level are you playing the tracks now?
Some of them, no, most of them normal still, but there's a few of them on hard. I'm up to, I think there's 30 levels in the single player. I think I'm at 27. It does get a bit, it's got a bit ridiculous. I think they're like expert and stupid. Some of the levels are very annoying in the single player, where you have to get so many fails, many miscuts or a maximum amount of correct ones. And it's sort of an accounting game. Like, I had to miss one. I'll have to get another one. Yeah, and that's a bit crap. But generally, it's a single player in a dancing lightsaber game. What do you expect? Great fun. I did put on the thing called, is it side loading? Side load? Side load. Where you can connect it up.
Have you put extra tracks on?
Yeah, so you put the machine into developer mode, and I haven't done the extra tracks, but you put the machine in developer mode and you get the side loading, which is a whole new store on your computer or your Mac, and gives you loads and loads and loads of free software, loads and loads of free games, loads of preview games, some stuff that wasn't just good enough, because the curated store in the Oculus store is stuff's all really, really good, and some of the more indie right. stuff is in this. So that's very, very interesting there as well. So that's there's a lot more stuff. Pistol Whip. I mentioned Pistol Whip last week. Fucking hell, what a game! This is a
you like this.
This is a shooter, and the again music. It's a hard workout as well. But you're shooting. You really are. It feels like you're fucking bang, 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 bang. You're round. You're dodging bullets. And you wow, rolling around on the floor, shooting up. It's freaking, it's awesome. It looks good. It sounds good. There's a single player in it, which is maybe, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half long. But then there's all of the previous versions, all the previous levels, themed levels like horror levels and all spacey ones. It's all pretty similar stuff. You are moving your way through a straight corridor. But yeah, really, really, really good. That's Pistol Whip, classy okay. piece of software. And what I, again, speaking of shooters, I, of course, have finished this on several machines, but Super Hot in VR is something very, very special. It is still, of course, it's crisp, it's clean, like Super Hot was, and it transfers perfectly to VR, but damn, you work for it. Well, I mean, you really outturn, fun, punch. Punch, swipe, pick something up, throw a vase, throw an ice tray, duck down. Yeah, it's wow. It's like, oh my God, I get to the level. I'm exhausted. Really, really brilliant. Fabulous.
Real quick question. So yeah. In Super Hot VR, obviously the notion of this game is it's paused while you're paused. But the moment you start to take an action, time yep. moves forward.
Yep.
So do you not only have to keep, obviously, the game – I mean, I'm assuming you can't move your arms at all. So once you start moving your arms, does it, yeah, does well, it
yeah,
impact
well, yeah,
it?
Once you start to move, which it right. starts to
– Okay.
So what, and if you, always... what if you get an itchy ass and you start scratching your ass as if you shoot you?
Super hot. You do it again very quickly.
Right. So there you go.
It has that.
Fair enough.
Repeat. All right. But very good. So it's excellent. Other thing I picked up and played some of it yesterday morning was a boxing game called The Thrill of the Fight.
Ah, I was misreading this. For some reason, I thought this said The Thrill of the Flight. So I thought for sure this was Flight Simulator. So, okay, yeah. Boxing. All right.
So this doesn't look overly pretty. I mean, it's sharp okay. enough. It looks like PS2-style graphics, you know. But the gameplay, again, is fab. So you're in. You really do need a 2 meter by 2 meter space free in mm-hmm. wherever you are, and you're there. So you've got that box of movement, and you punch and you jab and you work your way through. There's a training mode in it, and then you go into the. There's I think there's 10 or 20 fighters to fight as you work okay. your way up. At the beginning, it scans you, works out your weight and your height and your you know. So what, how you throw your arms is how heavy the punch is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, based on the okay. speed and all. Yeah. So then you get into the fight, and it's 3 2-minute rounds. Holy crappy moly. You know you have done 3 2-minute rounds. Because you're in. And it gives you all the stats of how many punches you threw, the jabs, the right, you know, whatever hooks you did, whatever your strike rate was. Wow! What, again, great fun, but what a workout. It's just you're getting fit while doing these, and it just feels brilliant. It's just, I'm so impressed with this device. Forget all the fun stuff like in the International Space Station and whizzing around anywhere in the world. So late at night, I've been sitting down and I've been playing Poker Stars. You've played this, Pete, haven't you? Played with Stu, girl Nicole, Doggies is her name, good fun. Chris MJW was playing us for the night before last. I play, you know, an hour of poker, bit of fun. And it feels like the old Xbox 360 game. It's that good. Remember the old really good one where you all played?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Full House Poker. It feels as good as that, except you actually feel like you're going to lean on the table. It looks so good. It's so crisp. Yes, you do get little toys to play with and cigarettes to smoke and pipes and fireworks lit off and all that sort of stuff. But, the crack has been mighty. And I think we've been missing that from some games of late. So I was asked the other day on one of the WhatsApp channels, it was Amar, I think, said I was quite impressed with it. And I am. Yeah. Would I recommend getting one for enough games? I mean, are there enough games now to justify the purchase, like real games? Absolutely. There now is. Yeah. There's loads of adventure games that I haven't touched yet and all sorts of stuff. So,
yeah, the impression I've been getting, this was the Quest 2, well, just Quest in general. Being wireless was one real critical thing to making this successful. Not having it to have to be tied to hardware in front of your TV, on your computer, it being freestanding, if you will, really makes this a real kind of success.
Yeah.
Because you can throw it on wherever. You don't have to be near your PC. You don't have to be near a console.
I believe in the first 7 weeks of its existence, it has already outsold VR sets of all sorts of descriptions. You just have to look at YouTube, the following that this device and similar, but mostly Quest 2 has got now, and it feels a lot more mainstream than, you know, it seems to be have arrived. And I suppose the more people get on it, the more quality content comes to it. The very, very good system of identifying what is comfortable, moderate, and a bit, you know, like for the strong stomach. So most of that stuff, all of those thrill of the fight, you know, super hot, all those, they're all rated as comfortable. Now, I sideloaded Quake. I keep on going back to Quake. And said, you do need to have sea legs for Quake.
That's a fast game in general to begin with. So,
So I wouldn't worry about feeling woozy. I think there's a bit in Pistol Whip where you sort of have to sort of sidestep these pillar things, and it does get you just a tiny wee bit, but nothing at all. Like, I could quite happily play. Well, I played Beat Saber for half an hour, and I haven't had to get used to it. I haven't felt ill. I felt grounded. I felt in there. So, very, very impressed. Yes, I will eventually get to stuff like Elite Dangerous, maybe. I will. I mean, there's some flight simulator stuff there, the Microsoft one as well. Yeah, sitting here is good. You know, one of the nice things when you're playing poker, you can sit your ass down, you know, because they call it stationary or room scale. So room, you draw the line in virtual reality around where your play area, or you're like in your stationary, which is just a big circle around you, and you can sit there. So it's easy enough to move around.
Question. So, and this is just for clarity's sake. You know, you talked about Elite Dangerous. You talked about Microsoft Flight Simulator. Those do require you to connect up to your PC, though. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes and no. So, I haven't tested the limits of it, and maybe I know Dan's in the chat he probably wouldn't even think about doing this because he's got a big rig anyway. But probably through virtual desktop, I could run it there, because virtual desktop is so impressive, you know. So I can connect from the house and just go. Don't have to be out here at all, so I can still be untethered. But I think the most powerful way is to put the cable in into the computer. But I haven't done that yet. So
It's
I'm really surprised. And you know what? If I had got a Series X, I wouldn't have got this.
I'm really surprised that how many in the community have got this now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is definitely taking hold within our community for sure. But, you know, again, we kind of go back to the conversations we had way back when. We always talked about wires being such a limiting part of what the VR experience was. And I just feel like, Oculus, Facebook have got this right. They really understood it didn't need to be the most powerful system out in the marketplace. It needed to be the most free in terms of kind of being able to move around easily.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, little things And I don't know if the other one's done this. I know the, the PlayStation one didn't. But if I double tap my head,
yeah,
do that, it then my eyes use the cameras in the headset. Okay. So I see a grainy black and white vision of the room in front of me. Gotcha. Very quickly. So it pauses the game and gives me, right, I can see. So I can literally, you know, if I hear something or I can quickly look into it or I can be present. Yeah. So
how many times has Judith hit you in the head so far?
No, it hasn't happened yet. Oh. No.
Does she know that functionality?
No.
Best not to tell her.
is that just for the second quest unit, or does that work on the first one?
Don't know. You have to go into settings and switch it on.
Oh,
so
I didn't know.
Maybe it is there. I don't know the differences. I don't know. Head tapping, pausing, whatever. Tap. I'm sure if you turn
quest, head
tap
slap.
Your head.
Room view.
Head slap. All right.
Yeah, I am seriously interested to look at the porn to see if there's any dedicated porn for it as well. Just out of curiosity, has it been done in VR? Just to have a look and see how crap it is. It could be good for a laugh. So.
I don't think anybody is shocked by this statement.
No.
No.
No, I'm not into big portion into porn, but I'm just curious. It's like being in Amsterdam. You have to go and at least go to one show to see what it's all about.
For science.
You know, flippy. I could be sitting there laughing all night, couldn't I, Pete, about some woman pulling ribbon out of her wang for about 5 minutes and trying to work it put it back in there again.
On that note, Mark, let's talk about what you have been playing. Obviously, we've talked about Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Do you know, Pete, no?
What was that?
Don't remember that? The lady pulling the ribbon?
Yeah.
Moving on.
This is not podcast material. Nobody cares about this except for the two of you because you were firsthand. But Mark, talk to me. Right. Let's talk about Star Wars Battlefront because I know you want to talk about Elite Dangerous, but
yeah,
I don't care.
I just loaded his video up. Oh, you fucker.
Right. Talk about what you want, Mark.
Right,
I'm kidding.
Battlefront. This is currently free on Epic Game Store. I think it went free on the 14th for a week. So I downloaded it on my PC, and a few of the joystick and chill guys played it up for Friday morning, or was it Saturday morning? I think it was Friday. And there were only three of us there, but we had a bit of fun with it. There was Jay and Hardly Dan, and I really enjoyed it. I've never played Battlefront 2 before. I played a bit of the first game on the Xbox.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, you can tell people have been playing this a long time.
Right.
But yeah, we had a laugh. Died a lot. Took a while to get used to it, but really good fun. It looks really good on the PC. And now I've downloaded it on the Xbox One. Xbox Series X, sorry.
It's on the Game Pass.
It's part of EA Access with Game Pass. So yeah. And I forgot that it has a single player campaign. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, I started the single-player campaign. I can't say I was, like, overly drawn into it. So I am kind of curious to go back and see that. But there's another single-player campaign we'll be talking about shortly anyway. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, but yeah, we all played for about an hour. But yeah, we had some good fun. It was nice to chat with Dan again, and it was nice to chat with Jay. So it's first time.
Still a great-looking game.
First time I spoke with Jay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really good. The maps are quite big, and we played a few different game modes, but we ended up playing the the usual Battlefield one where it's like capture the flag areas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Conquest or whatever it's called. Yeah, good fun. When the heroes get on the battlefield and the players who can play them know what they're doing, they just decimate your team.
It's over.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good fun.
All right. Elite Dangerous. Okay, we can talk about this. What's going on with Elite Dangerous?
So, everyone knows I love this game. I've played a lot of this game. And
yes.
With all the chatter about Odyssey coming up very, very soon. Well, foreshadowing, there's some news about that. But I thought I'd jump back into it. They did a big update recently. I've not played it since. They nerfed a lot of the mining. I was making a lot of money on the mining side. But where they've nerfed the mining, they've increased bounty hunting, so you can earn more that way. So it gives it a bit more variety. So it's a lot of balancing issues, really. So it's good that this game has been out this long and the developers right. are still constantly working on it because it's such a huge game. So, yeah, I've just been doing a bit more mining, getting a bit more money in, just trying to... I want to sort of, like, get my ships fully maxed out before I sort of, like, start doing different things.
Yeah, it's funny. Elite Dangerous, I know it's not technically a you know, a games-as-service game, but in so many ways, they do update it like one.
Yeah. Well, the most recent massive update, which came out a few months ago, is Fleet Carriers. Mm-hmm. And they've made quite a big difference to the game because where I'm mining at the moment, where all the sort of like really good minerals are to mine and you get a lot of money for, there's no stations nearby. You have to jump a lot to get to a station. Mm-hmm. So what people have done is they've brought their fleet carriers to that system, sort of like parked them up nearby, and you just fly back to one of their carriers if they allow... anybody on the, some of them are like friends and squadrons only, but a lot of them are just open to anyone. You can land on their fleet carrier, trade with them, sell the Penanite, what is what I've been collecting. You don't get as much for it, but they must make on it as well. But it's enough. I'm making about 20 million an hour, whereas before I was making about 80 to 100 million an hour. So that's how much they've nerfed it. You used to get about 750,000 per ton of this material. Now I'm getting. I think it's 35,000. No, sorry, 106,000 per ton. It's 35 at the stations, but some of these carriers are paying just over 100 grand a ton. And I'm filling my cargo up with 150 tons at a time.
A lot of this makes no sense to me at all. Yeah. So that's But
yeah, I've been getting back into it. Waggling my old Thrustmaster again.
Yes. So it's a shame. You were excited for it, but you were prepping for a big update that was going to be happening.
Yeah. We'll cover that in the news. Yeah, that's
yes, we will.
Foreshadowing a bit for that. But yeah, just cracking on with that now. So yeah. What I want to do is, I've not played it today. I wanted to do it today, but I'm going to do it tomorrow because I've still got another week off work, isolation. There's a thing called a Guardian FSD booster. There's a few Guardian things you can do to modify your ship. And they're all at like an ancient Guardian site. It's like an ancient alien race. You have to find it. You have to activate certain things and collect certain materials and then go to a trader who will then give you something for it. Now, this FSD booster, when you jump, you can jump so many light years. And I think my ships at the moment, my best ship can jump about 29 light years, which is pretty decent. But this booster will... like increase that so many percentage so you can do better exploration, because once I've got like a lot of money behind me, that's what I want to do. I want to go out of what we call the bubble where all the stations are and then just go into the void and just explore.
You want to become Star Trek. You want to go where no man has gone before.
I want to be Picard. Engage. Yeah. But yeah, I'm loving it.
All right.
Dan's back into it as well. Dan's been playing a lot of it because I've been... Because it's a new podcast, Joystick and Chill, their Discord server, unlike ours, is quite lively at the moment. There's a lot of chatter in there. So I've been pottering about in there a bit, and there's a dangerous section.
Because we know Discord's not the future.
It is for some people, not for ours. Ours is fucking dead, isn't it? I keep putting a meme in there, and Kim keeps putting a meme in there every so often saying, hello, is this still on? So, but yeah, Elite Dangerous.
It would help if we actually were in there. That would help.
Yeah.
For the rest.
Well, some of us are. Me and Kim are holding it together. I know Neasy does it. He's just got this on the Xbox, so he's playing it on Xbox. He's got the HOTAS one, what you've got, Greg.
Right.
I didn't know this, but apparently they are now, like, rocking our shit. You cannot get them for love nor money anymore.
Yeah, I got lucky. I bought mine right before they kind of got scooped up. And I think it was because Flight Simulator hadn't been, fully announced for
you know, Xbox and all that stuff. So anyway.
And I'm regretting not upgrading mine now from the old PS3 version, which works on PC, to the Xbox One version, because this next game, I would love to use a HOTAS on this next game. So
yeah, so let's talk about it, because we both have this.
Yeah, so I was looking on the Xbox store, and I noticed there were some free trial games, and I normally never bother with these. But one of them piqued my interest. It was Star Wars Squadrons. And it's quite a recent game. And it's got a free weekend, so you can download it for free, play it for free. So I downloaded it. I thought I'll give it a bash. I absolutely friggin' loved it. It was brilliant. And I know I've not done it in Battlefront 2, but there is a flight mode in there, isn't there? Like a flying section. But yeah, this was so nostalgic. Playing in a TIE fighter and switching over to the X-Wing. I've only done the prologue intro mission on the single player.
But I
loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. The feel of it, the noises, the TIE fighter noise. I just love that.
Yeah.
It tugs
at your Star Wars nostalgia for sure.
And the story's quite intriguing as well so far. And apparently it's got an 8 to 10 hour single player campaign. So it was on sale as well. There's 2 days left of a sale and it's currently £20.
I think as of this recording, there might be half a day left of that sale.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's £20, normally £35. And I thought, I've enjoyed it that much with a free trial. I know I'm going to play more of it. I just bought it there and then. And Greg will said he's been wanting to play this a while, so he's kindly pinged me half of it over. So we're co-owners of Star Wars Squadrons. How much have you played of it, Greg? Have you just done the intro as well?
I just got into the intro. One of my big fears with Star Wars Squadrons was I feared they were going to kind of do what the previous Battlefront games kind of did, which was you kind of take the role of either a rebel or an Empire, you know, soldier.
Yeah.
You're kind of the, you know, you don't have a voice, but you play some missions that really are bot missions that kind of represent the game. And that was my big fear with Star Wars Squadron. So far, that doesn't seem to be the case. You do have characters you create, but they appear in the single player. I'm sure they are also going to be your multiplayer character, but they're voiced at least so far. Interesting story so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything looks fantastic, plays pretty smooth.
And the controls aren't too complicated either, rather, to say you're flying a fighter ship.
Yeah, they definitely, this is not Elite Dangerous level complexity.
No.
Not by a long shot. So this is very user-friendly, first time to any kind of flight sim game. You'll be able to pick it up pretty easily. And they keep things just dumbed down enough to make it accessible, but I feel like there's enough little tweaks you can do that the more hardcore are not going to be totally turned off to it.
So far, so good.
Voice actors are really good.
The characters are good. And this is enhanced for Series S and X, and it just looks and plays so smooth, and it's just absolutely gorgeous on the Series X.
I think I played it on my
One X as well downstairs, and and it runs and plays brilliant on that as well.
So, okay, all right. I was kind of curious, I would be curious to see how the loading time. So that's one of the things I always was going back and forth with Mark about. You know, when he got his Series X, like test the loading times on games, see what the differences are.
I did that last week. I mentioned the loading times, and I bought Robin to death. But yeah.
Well, we can wrap it up on this. The greatest moment was getting in the TIE fighter and then firing off your blasters for a moment.
Yeah,
that was brilliant. All right,
I'm just gonna have to put something up on stream.
Oh God, yes. Well, brilliant, hilarious. Robin. Brilliant. Yes. All right, let's move off this. Let's get into. I think we have a quiz.
We do, yeah.
Okay.
I finally pulled my ass out of gear and I've done a quiz. Hey, look, guys, I fucking hate bronze. That's hilarious. Right then, let's get into quiz mode.
All right.
Turn that off and get some sound effects going.
All right, now everybody get settled. Get away from the windows. Now look, good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Right, so this is a general... Oh, fuck. I'm showing my screen. Oh, no,
a general oh, fuck.
I thought I was showing my screen then. I thought I was showing my screen with the answers then, but no, I'm not. Right, I just saw it on my left-hand OBS screen. Phew. Nearly give the answers away there. Right, yeah, so this is a general oh, fuck trivia quiz.
All right.
And I've just cobbled it together right quick this afternoon, just for a bit of a laugh. Do you want to just all group together and pick an answer, or do you want to compete against each other? What do you want to do?
I think competition breeds success.
Yeah, all right. Do you want to WhatsApp me the answers, or do you want to just shout them out?
What is your preference, Mark? How do you want to whatever, I don't even know what this quiz is, so...
It's just some trivia questions. There's 10 trivia questions about...
All right, well, we'll group it. We'll get through it. Let's do it.
Right, so question one. Let's get some music on first. What is the best-selling video game of all time? Now, I've done this multiple...
I've done this
multiple choice because Pete's a bit of a pussy and he wanted multiple choice. So is it A, Tetris? Is it B, Minecraft? Is it C, Pac-Man? Or is it D, Space Invaders? Ooh. A, Tetris.
I'm with
Minecraft.
I am sticking with Tetris.
Right, yeah, I've got Tetris.
Tetris.
Mm-hmm. I actually think Minecraft overtook Tetris not so long ago. I'm changing my answer to Minecraft.
And Robin would be...
Correctamundo!
Well done, Robin. It is Minecraft. Yes. Minecraft is the best-selling video game of all time. Yeah.
Now, what I would counter with that is... And obviously, they're not taking this into effect because I'm sure they're just considering it to be just normal Tetris. But I bet all the different variations of Tetris, Tetris Effect...
There's loads of variations of Minecraft.
Yeah. No, there's not. There's just Minecraft.
No, there's Minecraft story mode. There's Minecraft dungeons.
Those don't count.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, that website said it's Minecraft, so it's Minecraft.
All right, fine. My decision is final.
I fucking hit pods, says Mark.
Right. Question two. What year was Nintendo founded? Ooh. Was it A, 1929? Was it B, 1909? Was it C, 1889? Or was it D, 1999?
Say them again, please.
A.
No cheating.
A, 1929. B, 1909. C, 1889. Or D, 1999.
Okay. I'm going to go with 1929. That's my guess.
Greg says A, 29. Pete, with his frozen face, what does Pete think?
1889.
Yes. I was going to go for that. It mightn't just be so old. I'm going to say 1909 because they started making playing cards or some sort of card game. So
I know they're old as I'll get out.
So the correct answer is 1889. Pete is
correct. The mundo.
Of course, we can't see Pete's googling all these answers now.
Oh no, I wouldn't do that.
No, so, you wouldn't do that.
You've probably just ruined this next question, Robin. What products did Nintendo first release before taking on the world of video games? A, playing cards. B, pachinko machines. C, greeting cards. Or D, condoms.
clearly, it's condoms. I mean, cards.
Cards,
not Hallmark cards.
Pete, you concur?
Playing cards. Play cards. Sorry.
Robin,
I did say that earlier.
Yeah, I know you did. And Robin said it earlier.
Yeah.
You are all
correct.
It was playing cards. Yeah. Right. What is the most expensive video game made to date? Is it A, Red Dead Redemption 2? Is it B, Cyberpunk 2077? Is it C, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Or is it D, Grand Theft Auto 5? Red Dead Redemption 2, Cyberpunk 2077, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, or D, Grand Theft Auto 5?
I'm saying GTA 5.
Yeah,
Robin,
I'm going to go for
that as well. Pete says GTA. Greg?
So, I don't think it's Red Dead Redemption 2. As lovely as that game looked, I don't think it had the same budget as Grand Theft Auto 5 did, for sure. It's clearly it's not Cyberpunk, and I just say that because Cyberpunk Red, CD Projekt Red's not as big a company, so they wouldn't be able to have that kind of budget. The question is Call of Duty. That's the one where I question. GTA 5 was a big game. It had a lot of production value, but so does Call of Duty. And which Call of Duty was it? Sorry?
Modern Warfare 2.
Mm. Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, I'll go with GTA 5. I'll follow the crew, but man.
Yeah, well, I threw Modern Warfare 2 in for a reason, but you are all.
Direct the mundo!
It was GTA 5. Modern Warfare 2 was a very close second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, yeah. It was unbelievable how much Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 cost to make. Right, so, question five. We're nearly halfway there. What position did the creator of the Game Boy have at Nintendo?
Missionary!
Was he A, a janitor? Was he B, a data inputter? Was he C, a programmer? Or was he D, the CEO? Was it A, a janitor? B, a data inputter? C, a programmer? Or D, the CEO?
Who? I'm going to go for a data inputter.
Right.
For what? For what job again? Sorry.
Who created the Game Boy?
I'm going to go for a data inputter.
Right.
Okay, I'm going for a mild-mannered janitor.
And just to give us a diverse group of individuals, I'm going to go with the CEO for the hell of it.
Okay.
I know it's not right, but I'm going to say CEO.
So, Pete said a data inputter.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And Greg said the CEO.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And Robin says the janitor.
Direct the mundo.
He started off as a janitor.
Oh, wow.
There's a bit of a Nintendo thing going on here. Anyway, so question six. Mario.
Hold on. Real quick question. You said he started off as the janitor.
Well, I presume so. That's what the question was on the website. What position did he create for Game Boy of Nintendo? And it says a janitor. So I don't know. I just guess he started off. I presume once he created the Game Boy, they didn't keep him on as a fucking janitor. That'd be right, kicking the teeth, wouldn't it? Anyway, right, so question six. Mario first appeared in what video game? Was it A, Mario Brothers? Was it B, Super Smash Brothers? Was it C, Donkey Kong? Or was it D, Mario Tennis? What video game did you first ever appear in?
Donkey Kong.
Robin?
Yeah, Jumpman. Yeah, Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You are all correct. It was Donkey Kong in 1986-ish, I think. Right, question seven. Moving away from the Nintendos a bit. This is a very relevant question. We've just been talking about this sort of scenario. What is the name of the first video game to be played in outer space? So the actual game was played in outer space. Was it A, Elite Dangerous? Was it B, StarCraft? Was it C, Starpoint Gemini? Or was it D, Free Space? A, Elite Dangerous. B, StarCraft. C, Starpoint Gemini. Or D, Free Space? Which first video game to be ever played in outer space?
I'm going to go for the second one. What was it called again?
StarCraft.
Yeah. StarCraft. Yeah, I'm going to go for that.
Me too.
Yeah,
your favourite tactical game, Pete. You like your tactical game, so
I don't even know what it is.
It's huge. It's made by Blizzard. And you were all correct, it is StarCraft.
Direct the mundo!
It is huge in Korea and Japan, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Right, this is a question relevant to Robin. What problem plagues up to 40% of virtual reality users?
Dickhead.
Is it A, motion sickness? Is it B, bumping into things? Is it C, headaches? Or is it D, looking like a twat? Or E, it's getting Judith to hit you around the head?
Say them all again, please.
A, motion sickness. B, bumping into things. C, headaches. Or D, looking like a twat.
I'm going to go for B.
Motion sickness.
Hey, motion sickness.
And Pete's going for B. So Pete said motion sickness. Pete is...
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
It is...
Correctamundo!
Obviously motion sickness. It affects up to 40% of all users. Hadley Dan's...
Wow, really? That many?
Yeah. Hadley Dan's put premature baldness. I should have... Yeah, and I thought I should have put that one of the answers.
I didn't realise it was so high.
Yeah, 40% of people affected by motion sickness. Right, question 9. What was the first gaming console to have internal memory? First gaming console to have internal memory. Was it A, the Atari 2600? Was it B, the PlayStation 1? Was it C, the Atari Jaguar? Or was it D, the Sega Saturn? Atari 2600, PlayStation 1, Atari Jaguar, or a Sega Saturn? Which was the first one Jaguar.
I'm going to go for the Atari 2600.
Jaguar.
Jaguar, right. So, Pete says the Atari 2600, you say?
I award you no points, had no internal and may God have mercy
that
on
that yourself. That had cartridges, actually,
yeah,
didn't
The Atari Jaguar...
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
What was the others?
It was the PlayStation 1 didn't either, that used memory cards. It was the same Saturn. It came with 1 megabyte of internal memory. It was the first console with internal memory. Yeah, the Saturn. One whole megabyte of internal memory.
My goodness. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, your last question, and this is topical, political. Question 10. The Obama campaign... paid for an in-game advertisement in which game? So they actually paid, the campaign paid for an in-game advertisement. What game was it? Was it A, Metal Gear Solid 4? Was it B, Burnout Paradise? Was it C, Super Smash Bros. Brawl? Or was it D, Grand Theft Auto 4? A, Metal Gear Solid 4.
Just rattle through them all again, please.
Yeah, A, Metal Gear Solid 4.
Rattle through them all again.
B, Burnout Paradise. C, Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Or D, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise. Robin, Pete, what do you think?
I'll just go for GTA. I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say GTA 4 as well.
So Greg and Pete said GTA 4.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I'm thrown off by Robin's tactless
I am putting that on stream. Robin said Burnout Paradise.
Correctamundo.
It was Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wow.
Robin.
I am on fire.
Did anyone keep track of that? I didn't.
No, but I think we need to ban Robin now, even though he got that right.
Don't we put that on
there
stream,
he goes,
Greg?
Under the table again.
that's not safe for stream, is it? We'll get banned.
No, it
off.
Is not.
If I put that on, we'll get banned off Twitch.
No. That was borderline not safe for the WhatsApp chat that he put into.
Not seeing any of these, no?
No, probably not. Smartly, probably not.
We finally had a quiz.
All right, we're going to dive into some news. Mark, by the way, thank you for the quiz. That was fun. We miss our quizzes, so thank you for doing that.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So we do have quite a bit of news that actually came out. So the first bit of news is directly related to Mark. Mark, Elite Dangerous, or as we affectionately call it, Elite Dangle Balls, has been delayed. Odyssey has been delayed. God, what has been posted now? There we go. Thank you for posting that, Robin. All right, so Elite Dangerous Odyssey has been postponed, and obviously it looks like lockdown pandemic has impacted this. So do we know when they anticipate it coming out now?
Yeah, well, this is the main part of the story. It's the console ones which are going to be delayed the most. The PC one is still delayed, but the Alpha is still going to go ahead in spring. So the Alpha was supposed to be going ahead sort of like pretty much imminently, but now the Alpha is going to be springtime for PC, which I'm in because I've pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered an Odyssey. So I'm in the Alpha, so I can't wait for that. But the console versions are going to be autumn time, autumn, winter. So, yeah, unfortunately, console players are going to have to wait quite a while. But PC still planned for springtime for the alpha.
Okay. All right. Well, something to look forward to, at least. Yeah. So.
It's a huge update.
So it's Dan's talking about using Stream Deck with Elite.
Yeah.
That sounds really, really good idea.
That is amazing. So you can
assign loads of things.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah. I'll try to get a picture of my Stream Deck because I posted it on.
After what we've been seeing in the WhatsApp chat, I really don't know. I want to see this.
Well, basically, on my Stream Deck, when I'm playing Elite Dangerous, I've got buttons for landing gear, cargo scoop, heat sink to deploy, and it's even got an alert on it because Dan sent me a link to the file, and it's an actual plugin. So it actually recognises it in the Stream Deck. So when my ship overheats, one of my icons on my Stream Deck will change and flash red. And I know I've got to deploy my heatsink. And when I press it, my heatsink deploys. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a game changer for Elite. Yeah, your weapons and everything. You can do anything with it. It's amazing.
I was just going to say, I think this is an important thing to talk about for Stream Deck just real quickly. And that is that it has use beyond just streaming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I've always thought of it as just a streaming tool.
No. It's basically like a macro keyboard. You can program one button to do multifunctional things. You can get it to do anything you want. It's just amazing.
I use my stock trading.
Yeah. I used to use it. I've knocked it on the head now with all my job change and everything. I couldn't commit the time, so I've kicked it in a touch. I had a really good time playing it, but yeah, GTA RP is now gone. It's a part of my gaming history. Yeah, I've not been on it since October-ish. So yeah, that's gone. And I used to use the Stream Deck a lot for that, especially for my little doggy, my police dog.
All right.
To do all the commands, because they were like multifunction commands where you have to type in commands in the console. That did it for me. I just set a macro up. Yeah, Stream Deck's amazing. It's brilliant.
Very cool. All right. More good news, although that wasn't good news, obviously, for Odyssey. Good news for Oculus. They are launching a multi-user accounts and app sharing for next month. So starting next month, Robin,
game sharing.
Quest 2 owners will be able to create separate accounts for anybody they're sharing with their VR headset. So Oculus announced that it's rolling out multi-user accounts and app sharing. Which it says are two of its users' most requested features. The multi-use feature enables the primary account owner to add up to three secondary accounts on the device, and each one will get personalized game progress and achievements. So, obviously, in a house with kids,
brilliant.
You know, you can start getting your boys into it and having them have their own progress, their own achievements. Also, you'll be able to share the apps purchased, which is also nice.
That'll be good.
You'll
for
be able
like,
to share that secondary accounts.
For like, say for example, Robin, if he's halfway through a game, if one of his kids comes on and starts a new game, it might wipe his save. I had a similar scenario with Vikings on Amazon Prime. On Amazon Prime now, you can set up profiles. So I set one up for my mum, but she still keeps going on to mine for some reason. She kept bloody watching Vikings, and then I'd come to it and just like press continue, and I'm thinking, how the fuck are they there? I don't understand what's going on here, and I've like skipped four fucking episodes because of this stupid old woman. I got so angry, but yeah, she's got her own profile and she doesn't use it. So anyway,
good news for quest owners. There you go. Also in the news, and this was actually some really big news.
Yeah.
So as everyone knows, EA has had a licensing deal with Disney over Star Wars. Well, apparently that licensing deal is not. It's come to its run to where they now can start exploring other developers. And sure enough, Ubisoft has announced they are going to be making an open world Star Wars game.
They are kings of open world games.
Yeah. So Lucasfilm Games, which is, I guess, their new name for licensing things, has told Wired Magazine that Ubisoft Massive Entertainment, the team behind The Division 2, is developing an open-world Star Wars game using the studio's Snowdrop engine. The project is still young, so Massive doesn't really have anything to report at this point, just talking about the fact that they have the deal in place.
So there's no Division 3 coming then, is there?
It doesn't look like it. Yeah. Doesn't like it. But on the heels of this same type of news, we also had the news that Lucasfilms also unveiled a deal with Bethesda Games, in particular Bethesda's Machine Games Studio, for a new Indiana Jones game. And that will be coming out sometime in the future. No true details have been kind of revealed on that either. But that's one that's drawn a lot of controversial conversation.
There's
because
a few
people
Sony
are wondering,
boys, getting worried is about it, that.
Is it going to be exclusive? Is it not? I think we don't know. It's hard to know. Obviously, I think this deal got done before the purchase of Bethesda Games. So my guess is this is going to be multi-platform.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it wasn't.
On the Indiana Jones theme, I've read rumors on the interwebs, I don't know how true they are, that they're on about doing a reboot of the Indiana Jones movies with Chris Pratt from Jurassic Park and that. I like Chris Pratt, he's a good actor. So yeah.
I hadn't heard any about the reboot, but I had heard they actually were making another Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford. It's being done by the same director that did the Wolverine movie, Logan.
Right, okay.
Holy crap.
So that might be good, because I could see kind of that sunset type of movie for Indiana Jones.
I think Joe Biden has a part in it, so the same age.
excuse me. Yes, that leads us to the next part of this news story. And Robin, I'm actually going to have you read this while I choke to death. So we have a slew of games that have been announced. We had the Xbox games that were basically kind of exclusives, if you will. We don't know if they're true exclusives or timed exclusives, but they had a list of games coming out in 2021 and kind of forward this list.
So I'll go through the list. Adios, The Artful Escape, The Ascent, The Big Con, Crossfire X, Dead Static Drive, Echo Generation, Exo Mecha, Exo One, The Gunk, Halo Infinite, The Last Stop, Lake, Little Witch in the Woods, The Medium, Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's coming in the summer of 2021. The Medium was coming in January. This is the 28th, very soon.
Most of these other games, if you don't hear a specific date, it's just sometime in 2021.
Sometime. Psychonauts 2, RPG Time, Sable, Scorn, She Dreams Elsewhere, Shredders, Song of Iron, Tunic, 12 Minutes, Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy, Warhammer 40K, Dark Tide, Way to the Woods, that's Way to Kim Woods, The Wild at Heart, and the Yakuza Remastered Collection, that's January 28th, with Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, on March the 25th. Sony has also announced some PS5 game release dates in the small print of its CES keynote. Wow, I want a see-through TV. Returnal, it's on the 19th of the 3rd, Pragmata, in 2023, Solar Ash in 21 in June, Kena Bridge of Spirits March, Stray on October, Ghostwire Tokyo October, Little Devil Inside July, Project Athia in January 22, Hitman 3 this month, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and The Horizon Forbidden West in sometime this year.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about, by the way, that list from Sony, the reason why I listed it there was because they then updated that video that they posted at CES, and they removed mentions of those upcoming PlayStation exclusives. And so after that video was updated, there were no more mentions of those games. The only games that appeared in it were the release window for Ratchet and Clank and Horizon Forbidden West. So I wonder if these were original target dates, and I wonder if some of these might still be slipping further in terms of release windows, and so they decided to pull them out of that video. But they're on the horizon. There's at least that. The Xbox list, I think a lot of these games we had heard of. God, there's a lot of indies in here.
I've only heard about seven of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of indies in here, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just
games.
Yeah, they're games. It's games coming. I think those that are worried that there's not anything announced yet, I think that's really what these announcements were for. So just say, don't worry, there's games coming.
Is this all the labor of all these new studios in, you reckon?
I think it's part of it. Quite honestly, I think most of these games are not even part of that. So that's the interesting thing from the Xbox standpoint. I think these are just a lot of deals they've done with indie devs, with kind of more B-tier devs. If you think about like Warhammer 40K Darktide, I forgot the name of the studio, but that's actually a fairly substantial looking game versus 12 Minutes, which is definitely looks like it's an indie title and an intriguing one, mind you, but you know, smaller nonetheless. And then, of course, the Yakuza games are much bigger games. The big takeaway here, again, there's games coming. They're starting to really, think about, they haven't made a lot of announcements for 2021. To be honest, if you really think about all we know about what's coming this year, we don't know a lot. So I think we're going to start seeing more of these types of announcements, more of these types of lists, just to give consumers the faith that they've got something to play on with their console game. And it's not just all stuff that's already been out. So that's it for the news. I think we have literally two releases coming out for next week.
We only had two last week as well.
End of.
Pete. You feel like doing your best Kim impression and tell us what those two games are?
I'll probably hold off on the Kim impression, but the two games between the 17th of January and 23rd are Hitman 3, which has been released on pretty much everything, and that's out January the 20th, and then a game called Ride 4, which is out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S on January 21st.
All right. Is that porn?
I don't think it's porn, but I bet it might be motorcycle porn. All right, Robin, victory's achieved. Let's run through it.
Victory achieved, finish games, get entered into a draw to win money. That's what it is. People who finish games this week, Mr. Killer Crank, yes, Mr. Killer Cranky, he finished Cyberpunk 2077. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, he finished Gears of War 4. And Rubitz, Man Beast, he finished Resident Evil Zero.
Snoogans,
Is that Snoogans?
Yeah.
Wish people would keep the same names on different things.
Yeah.
There was one more that came in just before the show started, but it'll wait till next week because about 6 o'clock is about the cutoff time. So, yes, these three guys are now entered into the draw to win money for $20, £15 gift card, whatever you want to for PSN XBL Steam. Oculus, I don't know, do Oculus have cards? That's it. So just send a tweet or Parler only lasts 1 week. Send a tweet off to that friggin' manipulators of the news. Send a tweet off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved and a photograph of yourself and you'll be entered into the draw. So, for this week only, for those people that have finished games, Mark, will you please play the sound of 74 million people slowly clapping?
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Is it me or is Mark a little low?
Yes, he's a little low. He's going to have to go and fix all this
Mark, post. You got to work on squeezing them a little bit to get the volume up.
Yeah.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Much better.
Yeah. For some reason, the volume on it was down. On my soundboard, each one's got a different...
AMF.
Yeah.
Hashtag move AMF. On. Give on. It a squeeze, Mark.
Move on.
Give it a squeeze.
Move on.
All right, yes, we are moving on. We're going to close this show out. We have gone a good 2 hours now. So it's been a good show. I think we can safely say that we had some fun. Hopefully those of you listening had fun. We are here every weekend, so come back, join us next week.
Pete's had fun. He's had that smile on his face.
He's,
all
I know.
Show,
he's held that smile amazingly the entire podcast. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
He's had dinner. He's had a blowjob. He's had a nice new hat.
We know Pete's sitting there stark naked.
No, his boiler's not working. He won't be. Is he wrapped
all
in
right,
a blanket?
Pete, why don't you start us off? Give us some shout-outs. Come on.
I'm going to shout out Rob and that Snoogans. He mentioned something in the chat earlier about giving a TOWIE update. They're not filming due to the current Woo-hoo! Lockdown. So as soon as they are back up and filming, I will give you a bit of an update, Rob. But there is one thing, though, a bit of news. Tom and Georgia are having a baby, if you know who they are. So big shout-out to them. They're from TOWIE. Anyway, Shatters, another TV viewer, a 10, Big Cortana, Casino Thanks, Commander Root, Hardly Dan, Jean R. Nestu, and Vade Aether. Thanks to those people for joining in live with us tonight. And that's pretty much me. I'll hand you over to Mark.
I want to shout out Lord, because I was supposed to shout him out last week and I forgot. So sorry, Lord. So you're getting your shout out a week late. I want to shout out Jay and Dan for the Battlefield 2 PC fun we had Friday morning. Thank you very much. And I finally finished episode 1 and started episode 2 of their new podcast, Joysticks and Chill. Giving them some massive plugs this last couple of weeks. But it's really good fun, so give them a listen. And finally, to Matt Nation, Empower 343. this is a bit of a funny thing. So Phil's had some problems with his Virgin Media, with his internet. The super hubs have not been the best things. And I just casually just put in there, oh yeah, mine's been great. It's been working on Wi-Fi and everything. I've not really had to go into modern mud for a while now. Because my last router died about 2.5 years ago. So I've been using the super hub with no issues. I've been having major fucking Wi-Fi issues this week. So I'm going back into the router world. I've ordered a new router on Matt's recommendation. But it's a mesh network of three different mesh units. So it can cover the house for Wi-Fi. Because most of my equipment's wired anyway. So that's not the problem. But I've got that many fucking smart devices now with... behind me. That fucking bitch. I've got smart bulbs, smart plugs. I've got three dots. I've got the Echo Show in the room. So yeah, they all add up, and the Nest doorbell and everything. And it all adds up and takes its toll on the Wi-Fi. So yeah, I'm hoping this mesh network's going to solve that. It's coming Tuesday. So that'll be something to do Tuesday in my isolation. So cheers, Matt. Over to Robin.
Terminator's coming, Mark. Terminator Judgment Day.
Yeah, we'll feel like the college network. Skynet, yeah.
Skynet's upon us.
I also want to shout out Snoogans. He gave me a nice little link for the Hot Stock app to help me get my Xbox Series X. So thank you for that.
I bought an Xbox off him, Robin?
Did it work?
I went to his
house. Did it work, Robin?
Not yet. There's been a couple of, but I've been too late to get in. So, okay. Yes, it does seem to work. So, thank you very much for that. That's nice that you have. And also to Matt Nation. Matt's very, very active in the WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
so very, very good, Matt.
He's a nice guy, Matt. Yeah, I like Matt.
No, he's
nice. He's a nice guy. We had some good fun down in London on the EGX house. We came back and stayed for a drink and we had some fun.
No, he's cunt.
Yeah.
All the best to Matt, Snoogans, all the guys, everybody that's listening, the team here, thank you very much. That's good fun tonight. And to all my friends in America this week, be safe, be sensible. Good luck, Joe and Cam. Don't make a mess of it, all right? Greg, take us home.
Well, I want to thank the three of you. It's always a pleasure. It's been a fun podcast for sure. I want to give a shout out to Eric Piotrowski. We got together, we had some discussion, and I didn't know how it was going to go, but I think it turned out quite well. So I would encourage anybody to give that a listen. The Didact Syncast, Eric posted up our chat on there, so it's available. And I want to just shout out the United States. Everybody hang tight. We're going to be okay. We're going to get through all of this. We'll move on. We'll be fine. Stay strong. Stand firm. All that good stuff. Anyway. All right, we're done. Mark, carry us out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.